Ella Dean will now come share a scripture with us.
Today's scripture is from John chapter 18, 33 through 37. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you think this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice."
At my house, we have come very late to the game. We're watching Game of Thrones. We're just on season 4, so please don't spoil it. If you're not tuned into the recent buzz, the final 8th season of Game of Thrones begins tonight. This show is about brutal, violent struggles for power and control in an imaginary land of Westeros. There's also honor, duty, loyalty, and love. But there's a lot of power, control, domination, and violence. So this is not exactly a recommendation I'm bringing to you. It's a great show in terms of its writing and its characters and its acting, but maybe this is more confession. You see, last winter, our entertainment was going back through all the episodes of The West Wing. The nice drama about a president and staff in the White House that we really could feel good about, who cared about things we cared about and actually struggled with ethics. But at this point, in our current political climate, I hate to say it, but it's Game of Thrones. Power, control, domination, and even violence. You get what I'm saying. That's so much of what we seem to see in our world today. And certainly that's what the Roman Empire was about. Rome liked to proclaim that it brought peace. Pax Romana, they called it in Latin. But the peace of Rome was a peace built on power, control, domination, and violence. That Passover week in Jerusalem, as thousands of pilgrims gathered to celebrate Passover, the threat of violence, of suppression by Rome, was everywhere. The Roman governor Pilate would have ridden into Jerusalem on his powerful war horse with more troops, legions of soldiers with swords and spears. A show of force was needed, extra reinforcements, just in case those Jewish folks got restless, remembering Passover, remembering their liberation from slavery, remembering that God had brought them out of slavery into freedom. So Pilate had to make sure everyone remembered Rome was in charge. The contrast with Jesus could not have been more dramatic. Jesus knew the time had come for him to publicly embrace who he was. The Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed of God, the Christ. So he too rode into Jerusalem, not on a war horse, but on a young donkey, as the prophet had said the Messiah would come. He came with his poor ragtag band of followers, waving branches and throwing their cloaks on the road and shouting, "Hosanna, God save us." They had no weapons, no status, no power. All they had were their hopes and dreams their longings for peace and freedom. They had their love for Jesus, their teacher and healer. Jesus, the one who brought good news to the poor and liberty to the captives. Jesus, the King of Peace. How their hopes must have been soaring that day as he rode in on that donkey and they were shouting with joy. But within just a few days, he had been betrayed, arrested, and sentenced to die for blasphemy by the Jewish Sanhedrin, and then taken before Pilate, the Roman governor, who had the power to have him executed. The leaders who wanted him killed said he claimed to be king, thinking Pilate would see that as a political threat and do what they wanted. But you can hear it in the reading. Pilate was uncertain, not sure what political, religious argument he was getting pulled into the middle of, knowing he was being used, but not sure which way to turn, what to do to maintain law and order. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asked. "What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews." Remember, always remember, in John's gospel, when you read the Jews, the writer means the Jewish leaders who were opposed to Jesus. Because obviously, Jesus and all his followers at that time were also Jews. But Jesus' reply to Pilate is, "My kingdom is not of this world. My followers are not fighting back because that's not what I am about. I'm not in that game. I'm not in the game you're playing. I'm not playing by those rules. I don't live by those for those reasons. I'm not playing the world's game of thrones. I'm not trying to be king over anyone. I'm not competing for power and control, for domination, and I am not using violence. I was born to be a witness to the truth, to show people the way of love and peace, to save people from the games of power and control, domination and violence. Jesus came to show us reconciliation, not revenge. He came blessing the meek, the merciful, the poor in spirit, the peacemakers." Last week, I was leading a Bible study with some students up at Ithaca College, which I've had the privilege of doing for several weeks. I asked them a question. If you were trying to explain to someone who didn't know anything about church and Christian faith what Jesus means when he says those who save their life will lose it and those who lose their life will find it, what would you say? One of them talked about loving others more than yourself. And then another one spoke up and began to talk about having a higher allegiance, a loyalty to God that is above anything in this world. As she talked, I remembered that she told us something about her church background. And I said, "You're the Mennonite, aren't you?" "Yes," she said. And we talked about the strong Anabaptist tradition embodied in groups like the Mennonites. And it's in our Baptist roots, mixed in with a lot of English separatism, but it's certainly there. The emphasis that our loyalty, our allegiance is never to our country first, but always, always first to God, to God's kingdom. She went to a Mennonite school in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and she says she couldn't recite the Pledge of Allegiance if she had to, because they never, ever said it. It made me remember a Mennonite family I knew as a teenager. as an act of protest against the militarism of the American government, every year in tax season, they wrote a letter to the IRS stating their protest and their refusal to pay their taxes. They refused to support the American military-industrial complex. And every year, the IRS took their taxes with a fine. They knew it was coming. They planned for it. It was their act of moral resistance, their refusal to have loyalty to country above what they believed were the principles of God. Another man Bill and I knew in Atlanta always refused to stand for the national anthem at the Braves games when we went together. He had a higher loyalty to God, not to country. My kingdom, Jesus said, is not of this world. This world's reasons, this world's rules are not what I am about. This world's struggles for power and control have nothing to do with me and my followers. This world's methods of violence and coercion have nothing to do with the kingdom of love and peace. For this I have come into the world, to bear witness to truth. And those who seek and long for and love truth, those who seek integrity and wholeness, they will receive my words. They will know me. They will hear me. And they will follow. This week, this holy week, we are called to follow Jesus in his living and his dying. We are called to live into the way of the cross, not the way of the sword. We are called to join Jesus in emptying ourselves, giving ourselves away, dying to ego and self-interest. We are urged to repent, to turn away from the games of power and control as they play out, yes, in politics, but also, let's be honest, in our personal lives, every day, there are ways we are tempted. Whoever would save their life will lose it. And whoever will lose their life will save it. To find the kingdom, the treasure that is worth all we have, the pearl of great price, we have to give it all away. We have to risk everything we have and are. We are called to follow him down that road into Jerusalem, knowing it will cost us all of our lives, but daring to hope, to believe, and to trust that the kingdom, the realm of peace and love, is found on the other side of dying. He shows us the way of letting go, of not holding on, of emptying ourselves, the way of love and giving. The Apostle Paul wrote it this way: have this mind, this attitude in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be exploited and held on to, but emptied himself. And taking the form of a servant, was born in human flesh, a human just like us. And being found a human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. It's a hard way. It takes all we have. And it is the way of joy, the way of love, the way of resurrection.